Laureen Gilbert is a financial advisor with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
It's just about a minute after 8 o'clock, and this hour of the Mornings with Ed show is brought to you by WealthWise Financial Services, wealth management redefined. With us on the phone this morning, as she is each and every Wednesday morning, the award-winning president and CEO of WealthWise Financial Services, Laureen Gilbert. Welcome, Laureen.
Good morning, Ed.
How are you today?
How are you?
I'm doing great this morning. I hope you noticed that while I had you on hold there, we were playing what used to be the pride of Texas, Stevie Ray Vaughan there.
Oh, I loved it.
Yes.
I knew I loved it. Yeah. I didn't know why, but there you go.
You are the new pride of Texas, though, as I refer to you here.
Thank
you for coming. And you're actually calling in from Texas this morning, I understand.
I am from Big D, Dallas,
Big
Texas.
D. All right. Well, welcome to the program. Thank you once again for taking the time to be with us this morning. I want to hit the thing that that I noticed this morning. As I was leaving the house, I learned that the rate of inflation did not grow as much as we expected last month. 0.03 or 0.3%. Has inflation reached its peak?
So, yeah, so we've gone from 8.5% year over year to 8.3%. Mm-hmm. And so while that's still a higher number overall than was expected, it is moderating. People don't really feel it because, you know, that's not a huge moderation. And the number is still at 40-year highs. So we still have inflation that is way too high. However, to your point, I do think that we have finally reached peak inflation and that those numbers slowly but surely will start coming down. And the way that they're going to come down is for the Fed to stay the course. And it really confirms the Fed's most likely decision of another 50 basis point increase. And, you know, just keeping those rate increases in order to hopefully moderate inflation, which, of course, when you moderate, in order to moderate inflation, you've got to also moderate growth.
Right. So inflation has been what seems to be like you're driving in a car with someone who's driving crazy and way too fast. Well, they're still driving way too fast, but they're slowing down a little bit. Is that what we're trying to, is that kind of what it is like?
I like the analogy. I like the analogy and the whole, to take that a little further, and you're hoping that in doing so, there's not a car wreck. And the car wreck would be the a recession. And so, you know, what you're hearing a lot of talk about is soft landing versus hard landing. And one other thing I want to point out, so just to clarify what that means. So soft landing would mean we avoid a recession, and with the Fed moves, we're able to avoid a recession. A hard landing would be a recession was not avoided, and we end up in a recession. But the other thing to point out is that the Fed's purchases or their slowdown in their purchases was not as large as I thought it would be. And they're really not ramping up that slowdown until September. So I thought it was going to be $95 billion a month, and it's $47.5 billion a month until September. So, you know, they're trying as it may to figure out how do we do this in a way that does not completely disrupt the economy, but that hopefully slows down inflation.
Right.
And, you know, and that's the tricky part.
It seems these last few weeks that you and I have been talking about, the economic and financial market data that we've been receiving has been telling us different stories. Is economic growth slowing?
Well, we know that first quarter GDP was negative, and we've talked about that and why. And so, you know, I don't think that that is going to continue in the same way, to the same extent as the problems that we had in the first quarter. And I do think that the second half of the year will be better. But certainly, with rates going up, it does slow things down. We know that. There's the correlation of rates going up and economic growth slowing down. And so, you know, but slowdown could still end up meaning that for the entire year, we have 3% GDP growth. And so, you know, while that may be slowing, that's not slow growth. Slow growth, you know, is 2%. Don't forget, we lived on 2% growth per year for a decade.
Right. So we talked about not wanting the car wreck, that would be the bad thing.
Right.
And I'm imagining that would be something like the Federal Reserve making a mistake here at this point. With that said, how far ahead are we keeping one eye on China and what the lockdown there is going to do to the economy in the next 6 to 8 months with supply chain issues?
Well, we know it already has an effect. We know it has an effect on production in China, and it has an effect on exports from China,
right,
and even imports going into China. Everything is slow. You know, everything has kind of come to a halt once again. So we have a real problem with that. That is continuing the supply chain issues that we were hoping would be moderated and improving this year. And now it looks like that's going to continue even longer. And that tends to also have inflationary effects.
Okay. All right. And I mentioned something on the phone that I love, that I love when I get you to at least giggle a little bit about something I say. The everything rally is now becoming the everything sell-off. What does that mean for investors?
And it's very true. So what happened during the pandemic is, because the Federal Reserve were actively purchasing securities, keeping rates low, and we had money coming into the system from Congress, so we had all this free-flowing money, it was the environment that made sense for everybody to buy and for equity prices to necessarily just continue to go up. And now we have the complete reverse. We have a tightening of monetary policy. We have the Federal Reserve that is, you know, raising rates. And so all of that is sucking money out of the economy, and with that, and raising rates. And with all of that, that means that there is this sell-off to reprice securities. And so, and the other part that is absolutely correct is that at first it was your risk assets that were selling off. So your growth stocks, your technology, and the stocks that had kind of gone on this wild ride with no sense of valuations. Now we have everything that's sold off, including value, including defensive positions. And so what we have to look at as, you know, investors is look to see what has been oversold to where valuations look very favorable, and where could there be buying opportunities? And the other part is, when do you actually take advantage of those buying opportunities? Because we've been in this massive sell-off, and when do we reach that capitulation or that low in the market? And the other thing I want to make note of is that there's really been three responses by investors. There's either the panic response of, get me out. There's the paralysis response of, I don't know what to do, and deer in the headlights. And the third is patience with the market. And to be a successful investor, you really have to be in the third camp of patience. If you end up with either panic or paralysis, it's not a good outcome. Patience is the way to go.
Well, look at you. And at least once every Wednesday, you make a light bulb go off over my head. That was the moment right there. Thank you so, very much.
Good.
So you drive an electric vehicle at our house. Anne Marie drives the responsible electric vehicle. I still have a gas guzzler.
And you're paying for it. And you're paying for it every week at the pump.
Yesterday I dumped $130 into the tank. So I filled $130 yesterday to put gas in the car. And as I'm pouring the gas out, I'm thinking to myself, will we ever see crude prices back under $100, or are they at $100 to stay for a while?
Well, there's a couple of interesting points here. You know, there's crude, and then there's the correlation between crude oil and what's actually happening at the pumps. And so what happens is that as crude goes up, gas prices go up very quickly. And even when crude starts coming down, the gas prices, it's a slower downward movement on gas prices going down. So there's definitely a lag when it comes to at the pump. So even seeing oil prices come down, it will take a while at the pump. And the other thing is that, we do, you know, to your question, will we ever, you know, who knows? I do think that oil prices will moderate. They have a tendency to do so once things kind of settle out as far as what's going on around the globe. So I do think oil prices will settle out, and I think it will take longer for that to affect people in a positive way at the pump. So something to consider with your gas guzzling vehicle there.
Yeah, it goes through it fast too. That 130, that's really fast. The way I eat through that. And I just a little sidebar here with what you said about when crude prices come down, it takes. There's a lag between pump prices coming down. Why is that lag? Is that the oil? Is that the companies taking advantage of us, the consumer?
Well, it's not just this go around. It just tends to be, you know, it tends to be a side effect. And, you know, the gas companies have their reasoning for it as far as, you know, what it takes for them to run their companies, et cetera. I think it's very difficult for these companies to figure it out. And of course, once they have raised the prices, they're reluctant for those prices to go down. Right. And then we do see profit margins that are pretty healthy with those companies. And that's why you've heard, you know, regulators and governmental, you know, Congress people talking about that. They want to see those gas prices come down in an equal measure. But at the same time, I think on the other side of it, I think it's also hard for these companies to figure out. They want to, once again, they want to make sure that they're maintaining their margin.
Right, right. And when I drive by one of them, they all go, oh, here comes Ed.
They love you, Ed.
They really do.
It's like really do. $130, hey.
That's as easy a dime as they'll ever make, I promise. We talked several weeks ago about your Peloton and how committed you are to the Peloton. Let's talk about Peloton, the company. They're quickly running out of cash. What's happening to Peloton? What's wrong with them?
Well, Peloton was one of the darlings during the pandemic, and it was the stay-at-home play. And no longer is the stay-at-home play working across the board because, you know, when you look at just people are wanting to go back into a gym, people are not me. I'm happy on my Peloton, but there's definitely been a movement. But the other thing is that, you know, they have a new CEO who's trying to make some changes there at Peloton from more of the founding CEO, and they ended up with excess inventory. And they made a bet on that people, even when things opened up, would continue to buy. And so what they did is they had a lot of inventory. And what actually happened is that people stopped buying as much of that equipment. So they ended up with excess treadmills, and with those weaker sales, you know, trying to figure out, hey, what are we going to do now? So they're looking at other ways for revenue models where maybe, you know, you buy a treadmill or a bike and you are able to return it, that they do kind of a bundling price as far as their monthly subscription fee. So they're looking at different models on what to do, but you're right, they had to take out $750 million in loans. And so, you know, now they're straddled with loan money and a bunch of inventory, and they've got to do a turnaround. So this new CEO is going to try and turn around the company.
All right. So what we're finding with them is they're thinly capitalized, which none of us want to be. You never want to be in that position.
Same in your own household, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Laureen, these conversations are so important. How can our listeners have a conversation, or how can they find you if they're looking for you?
They can call us at 949-748-1177 or wealthwisefinancial.com.
Laureen, thank you so very much. We always appreciate you on a Wednesday, and jump on that Peloton, and we'll be talking to you next Wednesday.
Sounds great, Ed. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. That's Laureen Gilbert, Wealthwise Financial Services. It's the Mornings with Ed Show. Money, 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 money.